Hello.
Well, welcome everyone to our May Homeschool Mom to Mom webinar. We do these every month. We talk about all things of importance and help for homeschooling families. So, the way this will run is we'll have our presentation, and then Hannah, our wonderful Hannah Violet, who makes it all run behind the scenes, she will come on. We will do kind of a seventh inning stretch, as she calls it. She'll give announcements for the upcoming Moms for America activities and webinars. And then we'll have Q&A. So we're going to have the chat disabled for now, but keep your questions, hold on to them. And as soon as Hannah is finished, then we're going to have Q&A time. So this is the time when I would normally introduce our guest. However, our guest is me. We had a guest speaker lined up for our May webinar, and for a lot of reasons, she was not able to come on. So I kind of raised my hand and said, I can do a presentation that I did years ago for a homeschooling co-op and at a charter school. So here I am with my presentation. So, to introduce myself, my name is Liz Ackerman, and I began homeschooling our six children back in 1982 when people thought we were either crazy or abusive and we were ruining our children, or a combination of all. I am almost a lifelong educator. I began helping to teach swim classes when I was 14. And I really haven't quit since. I've taught everything from childbirth education classes to cooking classes to religion classes to financial literacy classes to all ages. And it's something that I love. And I'm no longer actively in the trenches homeschooling my own children, but I have grandchildren now that are on alternative educational paths. And some are homeschooling, some are in Montessori. So I am helping them whenever I can, supporting my children, their parents, and just continuing to network. I've been networking with educational pioneers for decades, and it has been my privilege, as I've been doing these webinars, to look all across the country, search out people, educational pioneers, people doing cool things in education, and invite them to be guest speakers and bring them to you. And so that has been a rare privilege, and I truly appreciate that. we are going to be talking about money mindsets today. So I do need to say, I'm not a licensed therapist, and I am certainly not a licensed financial planner. But I am very well acquainted with a lot of these negative mindsets because I have lugged these rocks around for a long time in my own personal backpack. And I have spent years working in various modalities to come to understand what am I carrying around, to recognize them, and then to work on removing them. And that has been a journey. It's not done, but I also realized being a homeschooling family on a very slender and not always dependable income, that having a healthy emotional mindset around money was very important. I wish mine had been healthier, but we keep learning and growing. We want to have a healthy mindset for ourselves. And as homeschooling moms, families, we don't want to pass rocks on to our kids. We want to pass on the feathers, the light, ideas, and mindsets that will help them, that will help them soar instead of weigh them down. So what we're going to be discussing today is a different kind of three R's. Normally we talk about reading, writing, arithmetic. We're going to be talking about rock recognition, removal, and replacement. So get ready. just a thought, a fun book that I have appreciated is titled, If How-To's Were Enough, We'd All Be Skinny, Rich, and Happy. It's not enough. to know what we're supposed to do because our mental scripts run and they outshout anything that we know to do. Yes, it is a very good book. An easy read, but full of very good information. All right. I developed this as part of a class that I was teaching young people that I titled Making Dollars from Sense, SENSE. And so we would talk about rocks and feathers. And I would bring in a backpack full of heavy rocks and plunk it down on the table. And then we would discuss these negative rocks that we were carrying around and weighing us down. Could we have the next slide, please, Hannah? All right, our emotions and our money. Yes, our emotions influence our financial decisions. Our feelings influence and drive our dealings. So, yes, all these negative things affect how we deal with our money. Can we have the next slide, please, Hannah? All right. And they affect more than just us. A 2024 survey showed that 45% of the couples surveyed argue, not discuss, argue about money. And 25%, that is one in four couples, say it's their biggest challenge. Yes, your emotions about money have a greater impact. You can go to all the seminars, read all the books, and you know what you're supposed to do about money. But if we've got these negative rocks, these negative scripts running, which I've certainly had, it will override what we know to do. I was reading an article recently about a married couple who had come to this therapist that was writing the article, and the last hope, this was their last ditch effort to save their marriage. And they said, "We've read all the books, we've gone to the seminars, we know what we're supposed to do and how to make our marriage work. But when push comes to shove, we just can't. We can't get beyond the emotions running, the triggers in our minds and heart. And we're about to call it quits, even though we know what we're supposed to be doing." So then the therapist went on to help them reframe and retrain their mental scripts. Okay, could we have the next slide, please, Hannah? All right. Yes, you can have, I'm thinking of young people here, you can have the coolest clothes, you can know all the dance moves, and you can go to the hottest night spot. But if you've got running in you, oh, I'm a little ashamed, I'm scared, I feel I don't have the confidence. Are you going to get out and dance the night away? Probably not. You're even going to enjoy being there despite your cool clothes and the cool spot and all you know how to do. Probably not until you learn how to overcome that. So, next slide, please, Hannah. All right. So, let's do. What are your feelings about money? What thoughts come to your mind when you hear the words rich? How about wealthy? How about poor? And poverty? I would imagine you've got some things going in your mind and in your heart, like, oh, these are powerful words. So to illustrate that, what I would do when I was with the kids, and I will do for you now, I have two pieces of paper, and they're both green, and they're both the same size I measured. Okay, so if I take this green piece of paper, and I wad it up, and I toss it over my shoulder, and I leave it on the floor, how do you feel? Kind of like, well, that's weird. Okay. If that's what she wants to do, that's what she wants to do. Okay, so now I have this piece of paper. All right, I'm gonna wad that up. I'm gonna toss that over. I have to tell you that one time I was doing this presentation, I was sitting on one side of the table and the kids were on the other side. And I wadded up the green piece of paper and tossed it on the floor, and they kind of went, well, okay. And then I took the bill, $100 bill, wadded that up, and instantly, and there was this horrified gasp, and one of the boys was over the table, halfway over the table, before the rest of us even knew what was going on, before that bill even hit the floor. And we all just sat there in shock, and it surprised him just as much as any of the rest of us. And we all sat back down. He sat back down and thought, well, thank you. Thank you for demonstrating that with a perfect object lesson, the power of emotions tied to money. And by the way, I'm just leaving those there and kind of, how does that make you feel? I'm just leaving them on the floor for right now. But he demonstrated an instant response, like, I am going after that. Very powerful. And I'm still telling that story years later. I trying to remember his name and I can't, but yeah, it was a very powerful illustration of emotions around money. All right. Hannah, can we have the next slide, please? Okay. This is a find out journey. So please, as you find out that you might be carrying these things around, rocks around, don't judge yourself or your rocks. Few of us pick these rocks up because we think, oh, that's a lovely rock. I want to carry that around in my backpack. No, it's often kind of difficult feelings. So congratulate yourself for having the courage to look at your rocks and to examine them and to deal with them. Also, a lot of us pick up rocks because of the actions of another person or persons. So this is our chance to not only practice forgiveness and patience with ourselves, but forgiveness and patience toward others. Because it's quite likely that they've got a lot of rocks in their backpack. So we get to just practice patience. If we know that we're carrying around rocks, we know we can recognize them and replace them. As we said with our three R's, we can recognize, we can remove them and replace them. So it's a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. It can take a long time, but and you may feel like you're playing whack-a-mole. Because you think, okay, I have recognized that rock. I've taken it out of my backpack. Oh no, what's this popping up? It's the same rock with a different flavor. So you want to just whack that thing down again. So again, be patient, be observant, and be patient with the fact that it is a process. So, and be gentle with yourself because, as I said, we don't pick these things up for fun, generally. It brings up a lot of, can bring up a lot of hurt, a lot of fear. So, yeah, be gentle with yourself and be gentle with others. And also, as you discover these rocks, then you can ask yourself the question of, why did I pick this up? And is this rock still serving me? And now I can, how do I replace this with a feather? So yes, do I carry this rock? How does it show up in my life? Do I want to keep it? How can I let it go? So yes. All right, Hannah, can we have the next slide, please? All right, here we go. Here we go with rocks. All right, rock number one. Can we have the next slide, please, Hannah? Oh gosh. Sometimes I think fear is the other F word, to be honest. It is a so powerful. It stops us in our tracks and it leads to poor decisions. If I think the zombie apocalypse is really going to happen tomorrow, I'm going to go out and spend my money and buy everything I need, or I'm just going to clutch my money and not do anything. That's kind of figuratively speaking, but I don't know anybody that makes good decisions when they're afraid. And fears are often based on something imaginary. I've heard fear described as false evidence appearing real. So, yes, fears seem really real. And so often they're not. So, the first rock is fear. Again, look at that. All right, yes. Oh, I couldn't think of a nice way to label this rock. It's just greed. It always wants more and never satisfied. And if I want more, 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 then I tend to, I need the latest phone. I need the latest clothes. I need the whatever it is, fill in the blank. It distorts my priorities, and I may end up not spending money on essentials. So, and greed is never satisfied. It's just one of those things that's just always there. Yeah, not something we want to carry around. And it can be kind of subtle. We can see somebody with, I don't know, a cool car. My old clunker is just not that exciting, or it may not be an old clunker. It may be perfectly fine, but it's just not the latest and greatest. So, a rock to watch out for. Okay, the next one, please, Hannah. Oh, yes, pride. Pride can get us into big trouble. There's two kinds, actually. There's pride from, you can call it pride from above, where I look down. I have the most expensive phone, the most expensive clothes. I live in the best neighborhood. I take the best vacations, and the rest of you peons, well, eh. So if I am in that, carrying that rock around, that means I gotta have the best clothes, the best car, etc. So that overspending, showing off. There's also not as well understood is pride from below. Pride from below is someone looking up at the people with the cars and the clothes, etc. And well, I'll show you. And spending money they don't have to prove that they are just as cool. I have a friend who used to work for as a private nurse for a family that if I told you their name, you would know them. They're internationally known. Their publications, their seminars are everywhere. And she said that working for this wealthy family was quite pleasant. They were very kind and good to her, except for one person. And that one person was a grandmother who had grown up very poor. And now that she was part of this wealthy family, well, she was wealthy and you better know it. And she did not treat my friend well. So pride from below can be just as nasty as pride from above. And it can just tempt us to do things with our money that are not healthy. Okay, next slide, please. Oh, yes, disrespect. I don't know how much I'm spending on my subscriptions, on gaming, whatever. I don't know. I don't really pay attention. And that cool phone that I just bought, that's the latest. Oh, yeah, well, I've dropped it umpteen times. My clothes, I don't really take good care of them. Car, I don't pay it care for the things that my money has bought me. And I don't keep track. I lose track. I used to, and this was back when we more had was not quite the cashless society that it is now, but it still could work. I would ask the kids, go home, check in your couch under your couch cushions, check in your coat pockets. look around and see how much money is just kicking around in your home. And look in your wallet. Are your bills just crammed in there? Are your credit cards here, there, and everywhere? Are you respecting your actual money, your physical money? And are you keeping track of where it goes? Or do you end up at the end of the month like, well, I don't know. Credit card bills. Oh, they were due yesterday. Oh, no. And another kind of disrespect is you doubt yourself. You don't respect yourself. If you don't respect yourself, then you're not worthy to spend money on for your health or education or whatever. This is a kind of a not a pleasant rock either. But yeah, you can doubt your own worth. All right, next slide, please, Hannah. Oh, stinginess. Ebenezer Scrooge is kind of the poster boy for this, but I'm not going to share. It's my money. And how much do you tip a server? I have read that women are notoriously poor tippers. Don't know exactly why that is, but yeah, I'm not going to share my money. I'm not going to share my time. It's mine. It leads to, as it says, small-minded thinking. Your world becomes very small when it's all about you and your money. And also, you're fearful. Like, I've got to keep it right close. And you may think, yes, Hannah says, sometimes I tip super generously just to knock myself out of that stingy and scarcity space. Yes. That's a great feather, Hannah. Yes. So it also, we may think, oh, I'm just being careful with my money. I'm just being very prudent. But no, if your motivation is just to hold on to it tight, that's a very small, and not something you want to pass. And that's not the kind of person you want to be. Yes, and we know that sharing is such a healthy thing, healthy emotion. Okay, next slide, please, Hannah. Oh, shame and guilt. Yes. Are you, and this can work two ways, two flavors. You can be ashamed that you have plenty. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to have so much while everyone else is struggling. Or you can be ashamed and guilty because you don't have what you feel you need. And you can feel guilty for having or guilty for lacking. It's just kind of covers all the bases. And it does. It throws us into this, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to have plenty, or I'm so unworthy I don't have any. And that is also a negative money mindset that doesn't help you to improve because don't you know you're not worthy. So these voices, these rocks can be very heavy sometimes. Okay, next slide, please, Hannah. Oh, yes, scarcity thinking. The S on my chest, it did not stand for Superwoman. It stood for, and still can, if I'm not careful, a scarcity thinker. The scarcity thinker, there's not enough. There's not enough money. There's not enough support. There's not enough help. There's not enough time. Fill in the blank, there ain't enough of it. So it leads to fear, avoidance. The scarcity thinker's mantra is, I can't because fill in the blank. I don't have enough of whatever I might need. And it stops positive change because you can't, right? That's what's going on in your mind. I can't because of whatever. And trust me, you can always come up with reasons, but it again, it stops you in your tracks. It doesn't allow you to progress. And this, oh my goodness, was raised by two parents that grew up in the Depression when it was really rough. So yeah, a lot of rocks passed down from that depression generation. So also, there have been a lot of people, a lot of tremendous people that have been dealt. Maybe they didn't have enough money. They had no support. They had no education or no means of getting education. Sometimes they didn't even have a physically, what we would consider a physically normal body. And they could easily have said, I can't. There's a man that has literally no arms and no legs. He could have said, I can. He is a motivational speaker all over the world. So find some of these people and learn about them and track on them and help them replace your I can't because money scripts. Okay, could we have our next slide, please, Hannah? Thank you. Oh, yes. Irresponsibility and apathy. I don't know, and I don't care. I have no idea how much I'm spending. I don't know what I should do to get my money under control, and I don't care. So that's kind of obvious. It means if I don't know and I don't care, I'm not going to try. And you give up control because you certainly don't want to take control because you don't care. Yeah, that's a heavy rock too, that and it just, again, it puts us in this space of negative mindset, and just it stymies us. It just stalls us out because we're not taking charge. If no one's at the wheel, we don't know where we're going and we don't care. All right. Next slide, please, Hannah. All right. Now we get to talk about feathers. Feathers came about because I was doing this presentation for a group of kids, and one of them said, oh, this is all kind of negative. And I thought, well, yeah. Well, let's think about something positive. What's the opposite of a rock that's heavy? A feather. A feather weighs nothing. And what do feathers, if you have enough feathers, what do you have? You have wings. You have wings that can help you soar. So let's, yeah, that's fine, Heather. We can, I'm sorry, Hannah. Got Hannah and Heather mixed up there. So generosity. It has been proven that being a generous person and giving and sharing of your time and talents brings literally physical benefits. So giving does bring joy, and it helps others, and it helps you, and it pr creates purpose, connection. And if you've got the big S on your chest for scarcity thinking, this these muscles, this generosity muscle, I know from personal experience, it kind of atrophies. You want to, but you can't because. So I have learned to start small. I might spend $5 on something for me and see if the world comes to an end. Because if you're a real, if you've got the S rock big time, that's kind of where you go. If I spend this money, disaster. So try, take baby steps, and look, it helps you realize, oh, the world isn't going to come to an end. No one's going to die. This can work. I can be generous. And if you truly are up against it, you can be generous with your time. You can be generous with a smile. You can be generous with a kind word. You can be generous with a text that just tells someone you're thinking of them. Generosity is a wonderful feather. Okay, next one, Hannah. Next slide, please. Gratitude. Yes, I've kept a gratitude journal for a number of years. Gratitude counteracts greed. They both start with G, but one is this feather that you're just grateful for what you have. And do we not all have so much to be grateful? There's a wonderful poem that just came to me that a friend used to quote a lot. And the repeating line is, "Oh Lord, forgive me when I whine. I have two eyes. The world is mine." And just talking about, or people that are paralyzed. "Oh Lord, forgive me when I whine. I have two legs. The world is mine." It builds contentment and it shifts our focus over to abundance. There is a lot. There is plenty. All right, can we move on, please, Hannah? Oh, yes, courage and trust. We have talked a little bit about that, how it can be baby steps. Just try something a little bit that seems a little bit beyond your comfort zone. Act with bravery despite your fear. Yes. And anyone that does big things, that steps out of their comfort zone, will tell you, "Yes, I was afraid, but I did it anyway." And as someone said, "Yeah, when I performed before thousands of people, if you I didn't have some fear, I would have a disconnect up here." But yeah, but you do it and you respond instead of react. So courage and trust, and it allows you to believe things can improve. They can improve financially. They can improve in all ways. Can I have the next feather? Yes, next feather, please. Diligence, work. Be consistent with your money. It does take work. I used to be very envious of people that had a lot of money until I got to know some and I realized, wow, there are a lot of challenges that come from having a lot of money. And it takes work, and you've got to be informed and you've got to be consistent and need to practice financial care every day. And so those of us that want to improve, we need to realize it's not going to come without some effort and some continual effort. Okay, next slide, please, Hannah. The abundance mindset. Yes, it sees possibilities over limits. If you get concerned, just go outside and look at, it's spring now. Look at all the leaves on the trees, all the grass that grows. Nature teaches abundance. Look at a sunset. It's not monochrome. It's all these glorious colors. The abundant thinking person says, "I can because." Now, speaking from experience, sometimes it helps to have a friend that will say, "Yeah, you can because." Oh, I hadn't even thought of that, because you know my S was kind of glowing on my chest, my scarcity thinker S. And it does help. Find someone that has overcome, that is making things happen, and kind of talk to them and see what they've overcome. And when they said, "I can because," and sometimes it's just because I'm going to work hard. So the abundance mindset's a wonderful feather. Next slide, please, Hannah. Yes. So feather number six is being proactive. It means take action, face your fear, and move forward, and keep your pack light. Keep working on those three R's of rock recognition, rock removal, and rock replacer. It doesn't happen overnight. It is a process. Some things that you can do is maybe find a friend to work with that will help you stay accountable. Keep a journal. A journal is very helpful so you can see, oh, that rock showed up this way and this is what I did. So I can move forward. Yes, you can journal. You can find an accountability buddy. Take the heaviest rock, the one that feels the heaviest, and work on that. Work with that one. and move on to the next heaviest one. A lot of these are kind of interconnected, so they when you find one, you'll often find others right around it. So yeah, again, it's the whack-a-mole. You will often find yourself doing that. Yeah, find like-minded people to help you out, to be your partners. It like any journey, it's nice not to have to travel alone. And if you find that you need professional help, don't be ashamed to do that. These people have studied and worked so that they are able to give you some help. And sometimes, like we said, these rocks, we didn't pick them up because it was fun or because they were pretty. They are attached to a lot of difficult emotions that it might take someone with some professional training to deal with. So don't be ashamed. We can help each other. And as I said before, friends or someone with training can often spot rocks that we don't see or we don't want to see. That's true as well. All right. Can we have the last slide? I think it's the last slide, Hannah. That one appears. Oh, yes. I really like this. If you continue to carry bricks from your past, you will end up building the same house. So if you don't like or you want to move beyond the house that you're living in and you want to become a rock remover, replacer, recognizer, remover, and replacer, you can build a new house, which is a great thing. It kind of opens up a lot of possibilities for you. And I think there's one more slide, Hannah. Yes, there's some resources. And this will all go out in an email to you. You'll have all these resources, some wonderful resources. There are a lot. And as you get going, you will probably find different rocks. You will have your own collection of rocks. Feel free to find different rocks, name them and different feathers, and keep working. And I also want to make you aware that another homeschooling mom and I have put together these workbooks. This one is for the teens, and it just has pages to help the teens deal with their own rocks and recognize them, be track them, track their progress. And there's one for adults, and I am giving them free download link that will be available. Hannah just put it in the chat. I'd love feedback. You're welcome to download these workbooks. This is all that I have for now. This is a topic we could talk about for a long time. And sometimes we would cry on each other's shoulders. But yes, send your feedback to me.